Nose Ring Flight Plan. Ooh, she's from Canada.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we watched Left Behind. And then we read five answers from our listener, Mark.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined by Molly.
Hello.
And Tim.
Hi, I'm here too.
Yeah. And today we are going to talk about a movie we saw, but to lead up to that.
You guys are assholes. Assholes.
Tim has this hobby project thing that he blogs about and does. Obsessions, really. Yeah. One of the things you're a big nerd about is your alphabetical movie project.
Right. I'm watching every movie I own in alphabetical order.
And that's not like... like, oh, yeah, you've got a little collection of 50 DVDs. I mean, you have a fuck ton of movies.
No, I've been doing this for 3 years, and I'm on L.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So
give you an idea. And so, he watches a movie almost every day.
Not almost every day. It might be two or three movies a week.
Still, that's...
but sometimes more than
that's
one.
That's like every other day.
Yeah. You try to blog about them, and
I do. Blogs about everyone.
I try and blog about everyone, and what I try to do is I try to write blog entries that are inspired by the movie but aren't necessarily about the movie. It's I don't know. It's kind of a creative writing
project. You don't review
project.
It.
No, I don't review it.
People say creative writing, it's... yeah. The exercise of writing itself is what's important, regardless of what you're writing about. So, knowing that you were working your way up to the L's and the K's, Molly and I had been trying to find a movie to send you.
We sent him one before.
We sent you Johnny Mnemonic?
The thing that people need to understand is, I've been doing this for years, and I've had friends constantly go, oh my God, so if I gave you a really shitty movie... and it was in order, you would have to watch it.
If it had a theatrical release.
And I said, well, yeah, if it had a theatrical release, that's one of the rules. So people for years have been talking about giving me shitty movies to watch as part of the alphabetical movie project. Right. And you guys are the first ones ever to do it.
Right. And the first one we gave you was Johnny Mnemonic, which we and you were shocked. And then
you know what was worse? I got to say, not only was it Johnny Mnemonic, which is a shitty, shitty movie, it was full screen.
It was full screen.
You can't even find fucking full screen anymore.
So then I was at a bachelorette party, and your wife was there and some other people we know. And we were talking about how we'd given you Johnny Mnemonic, and it was like, oh, what should we give him? And it was like, where is he at? And Pat was like, oh, he's in the K's right now. And I'm like, oh my God, Left Behind. Oh my God, Left Behind. So I paid $6.99 with free shipping to have Left Behind delivered to Tim's house with no warning. Didn't say a word.
I know, there was nothing on it.
We just watched that tonight.
You spent way too much on that movie.
Yeah,
I know.
Really, $6.99.
I thought $6.99 was not that bad, and now that we've seen it, I would like all my money and then some back.
So it's a movie based on a book, which is kind of sort of about Revelations, but not really anything.
It's about the rapture.
Yeah, it's about the rapture.
It's about those folks left behind after the rapture.
Because what happens is, and just the barest bones of sketching out.
Oh, don't ruin it, Molly.
There's the rapture.
Spoilers.
And then after the rapture, the Antichrist rises. And then after that happens, there's the bloody battle on Earth, Armageddon, to determine whether or not God or the devil wins.
Right.
Right.
So, Kirk Cameron... child actor and notable
psychopath.
Fucking
notable crazy Christian psycho dude.
Yeah, yeah. His wife had a dream, a prophecy dream that she and him were going to be in this movie, and 3 years later they were. She fell asleep reading the novel, and so
God speaks to him a lot.
God spoke to his wife and predicted the future.
Right.
In which Kirk Cameron, who is a celebrity with a fairly large financial backing from a lot of Christian groups, would manage to get this movie created.
That's right.
Yes.
And that's like a miracle.
Clearly evidence of God.
Yeah.
So he plays Buck Williams, GNN, not to be confused with CNN.
The Global News Network.
Right. correspondent who's in Jerusalem when the shit starts to go down, and he's on a plane when people start disappearing and leaving piles of clothes behind, and it's just really fucking bad.
My baby, what happened to my baby?
So there's a lot of that in the movie.
I thought it'd be fun to talk about like what our least favorite or like funniest or most ridiculous or absurd parts of the movie were.
Boy,
all 99 really? Minutes of it. Yeah, I'd like to add.
I gotta say that that was a really long 99 minutes.
The acting was terrible.
It's Metacritic. It's Metacritic really, score is 22 out of 100.
Wow. You know, the thing is, it's not even that it's offensive to anybody who's not a Christian, not the right kind of Christian.
Yeah,
it's that it's also horrible.
It's also badly acted.
Yeah, it's a bad movie
and poorly written. Really bad writing.
Real
stilted dialogue.
It's just awful acting.
The score is
hilarious.
Hilarious.
The score is like 10 or 15 years behind movies. Like, yeah. I felt like I was transported to early 90s.
I'm going to say I think my least favorite part was just because it was just so obvious, like what they were like setting up, was the evil UN guys talking and being like, "Well, when their children starve to death, then they'll listen to reason." And how you know they're bad guys. They're willing to let children starve.
Yes.
Like, only evil people do that. I don't know any good Christians who let children starve to death while they themselves eat.
And of course, they were foiled in that because all of the children were raptured.
Yeah, right.
Their evil plan failed.
Except for like a child born 10 minutes after the rapture happened.
Would not be raptured.
Like, that's the unluckiest baby ever, right?
Yeah.
That's him. What was
your... 2 seconds after the rapture happened.
Other than like a general comment on the quality of the movie. Hang on, no, I have a question. Sorry, yeah. If these Christians believe that life begins at conception...
Right.
Then, I mean, fetuses
so
are
so if
like,
I was pregnant, would a fetus just be raptured? How would I know it was gone?
No, like a
I'd
zygote.
I'd be like, yes!
It'd be like a zygote. It'd be...
Rapture abortion.
Yeah, I would think up to the point of birth, wouldn't it just be raptured out of the womb?
Yeah,
I guess
you wouldn't
so.
Know it was there. You'd be like, there's just an umbilical cord left.
My baby left its top hat and shoes in my womb.
I did. You know,
tiny little Bible.
Okay, so the worst part of the film, there's this pilot character who we named him Flight Plan.
Captain Flight Plan. His first name is also Captain.
That's not his character name, but Captain
He's
Flight
a,
Plan.
Rayford Steele.
Rayford Steele.
The names are great.
I like our name better. So Captain Flight Plan, comes home to discover that his wife, his Christian wife, has been raptured.
Who he's been cheating on.
Yeah.
And he weeps over her nightgown in bed.
Completely
with
cross.
And her wedding ring's there.
And then there's a cross. And he's crying. And there's this moment. And it's such a cliche movie moment.
Yeah.
That they take, you know, to the extreme by... He's in this cliche movie moment. He's crying. He looks into a mirror. He picks up a book. And he throws it at the mirror, which, of course, shatters. And
it's the Bible.
Yeah. So he picks up the book from the shattered shards of glass from the mirror and starts reading the
Bible.
That's
high school deep.
I'm going to write some freeform poetry about how I'm feeling.
Right.
On loose leaf.
It's some of the worst writing.
Yeah. I liked making up names because the characters, I think for me, the worst part was the characters all like Rayford Steele and
Buck.
Bruce Barnes, Buck Williams,
Dirk Burton.
The best though was the head of the UN, which okay, so wait, real quick, Kirk Cameron literally believes that the UN is like I think it's
like Kirk Cameron, the guy,
the actor, the real person, believes that the UN is the reproductive organ of Satan. I assume he means Satan's cock.
I think what he means is it is what is spawning more evil.
Oh, okay.
It's more like the semen of Satan.
Sure, the egg sac.
Yeah, it is the reproductive organ, not necessarily the penis or the vagina,
But so when like delegates are walking out of the UN, it's like sperm. coming yeah. out
no,
of.
No, wait, yeah. so when does conception happen? For the UN, is it when they get their HR paperwork?
No. Oh,
so anyway, the leader of the UN, who is the Antichrist, is
his name?
Nikolai Carpathia.
And no one knows he's evil. No one's
his
like
his name is fucking Nikolai Carpathia.
Do you think that young, handsome Nikolai Carpathia, who has a sudden and urgent rise to power in the UN post-apocalypse, might have something evil planned?
But and then his snitch was named Dirk Berkham.
Dirk Berkham.
Dirk Berkham.
Dirk Berkham. Dirk Berkham. Dirk Berkham.
I liked Berkham. Our names better though.
Yeah,
our
name, that Captain was, Flight Plan.
His daughter Nose Ring Flight Plan.
His daughter was. Or I called his wife Susie Church.
Susie Church.
She kept the great thing about
Nose Ring Flight Plan is when she starts to believe in God, she takes the nose ring.
No. Yeah. It's not even. She doesn't believe in God until the very end. It's she takes the nose ring out as soon as the rapture happens. Like she feels
she's
like
so
maybe
distraught.
If she takes the nose ring out, her mom will come back.
Like
because they were very. Upset about the
yeah,
nose ring.
Yeah, right.
Because that's rebellious.
But the son, Game Boy Flight Plan, he got raptured okay.
He, like,
he got raptured on his birthday.
He was, that is some bullshit.
Clearly it was the right birthday because, you know, there's got to be a cutoff. And they don't ever in the movie go into where the cutoff
say,
is.
They never say, like,
because they do say a number, like a very precise number. They're like 146,372,000 people have vanished. But they never say it. But no Jews or like, but they were all white. Like they never say that. It's very interesting that they keep it very loose.
They don't want to really get into the details there because
well,
if they got to
why.
The details,
yeah.
they might have to, the whole thing might start unraveling.
What?
I know, it's crazy.
I want to know
well,
if all the
doesn't
people...
Nick need to say his favorite part?
Oh, my favorite part was the names.
You just did
my,
it, yeah.
Names.
Yeah,
least favorite. My least favorite slash favorite part.
Oh, okay. I really want to know if all the actors involved are of a Christian persuasion. Or if there was anybody who was just like, no, this movie's probably going to make me a lot of money because, I mean, people are going to go see
it. It's a series of movies.
Definitely the two guys that played the leads I know are both Jesus freaks.
Yeah. I want to look up and see how much money
you
know,
he
made.
Kirk Cameron, he's famous for stuff like the banana video with Red Comfort.
He's also famous for saying, advocating anal sex as a way of saving your virginity for marriage.
Wow, I did not know that. And yet he's also anti-gay.
Right, same time. Well,
so
anal sex with women.
He's not anti-gays. He hates the sin, not the sinner.
Left Behind. let's see, hold on. There's a whole lot of plot.
There is no plot.
No, in this thing. Left Behind grossed $4,224,065, barely surpassing its budget.
Mm.
Wow.
It opened 17th in the nation.
I can't believe its budget was that high.
I thought for sure that...
it made $2.1 million in its opening weekend.
I thought for sure the crazy Christian people actually made that thing make more money than that.
Boy, the...
They sure were shelling out money to watch The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah,
So the film was released... It was DVD first.
It was released
on DVD. October 31st in 2000, but because featuring coupons for the upcoming theatrical release, because the filmmakers claimed it was to build interest in the film, and then it was released theatrically February 2nd, 2001, just a few months later. And the over the end credits, the music video for the song "Midnight Cry" was played, which we missed.
We chose not to watch it because we were.
We missed. We were done.
Yeah,
we were done.
So the tagline for Left Behind is "The future is clear,"
and now they're remaking it.
And,
yes,
and, Nicolas Cage.
The same production company, Cloud 10.
Yeah, Nick Cage is going to be. He's going to be Buck.
I didn't know Nick Cage was a crazy Jesus freak.
Production to begin March 18th this year.
I don't know if it's that Nick Cage is a crazy Christian as much as it is Nick Cage is just fucking crazy.
The production budget is slated for $15 million.
$15 million. So three times what the original film made.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, it needs it.
Boy, it sure couldn't be made for less, I'll tell you that.
I'm pretty sure Kirk Cameron donated his time.
God, I hope not, because that would make me laugh.
So which
Ashley Tisdale's in it too.
Which of one's his wife? Which one? Who? Kirk Cameron's wife.
Chelsea
what
Noble,
role,
I think, is.
What role did she play?
She's like, she's the stewardess. She's the flight attendant who got a job at the UN when Kirk Cameron's character wrote her a letter of recommendation. Because apparently, you can go from being a flight attendant on an overnight flight to working in the UN as a staff.
As a personal attaché.
All you need is
Secretary General.
Yeah.
All you need is a letter of recommendation from some asshole reporter.
And also, you should be making sure that you wear your lady suits with no blouse underneath.
Right.
Because she was wearing her lady suits
with
no... So
that's how she got the job.
Yeah.
And she was having sex with the pilot.
Yeah, she was. Well, you know what?
Captain Flight Plan.
They never said that they'd had sex or anything. They'd said flirtations and glances
it was kind of implied.
It was very heavily implied, but it was never outright stated that
Talk about that kind of thing. It's a Christian film.
It's interesting, though. Like they imply, I realized that toward the end. His daughter confronts him when she overhears him with
veiled.
The woman. She's like, what was that? He's like, that was nothing. It doesn't matter anymore. Like, yeah. It
doesn't matter anymore.
Because that changed.
So the end of the movie is like the few survivors who were like kind of lapsed Christians. Like there's the black minister guy who's like, I knew, but I didn't believe. You had to believe. And,
believed, but I didn't.
Believe.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so Kirk Cameron, Buck Fuckington, he witnesses the Antichrist UN guy kill someone and kill another guy.
He brainwashes everyone with his crazy Antichrist powers.
Jedi mind tricks.
All I remember about that scene was that it was terribly sad.
Yeah.
Terribly sad.
So Buck Fuckington and Captain Flight Plan and Nose Ring Flight Plan and Black Preacher Dude.
Yep.
All are like on their knees praying at the end and like we're ready for the 7 days of peace before we.
They're living in a church now.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that the sequel is all about like the actual war.
Them gearing up for.
I wonder if there's a montage to Amazing Grace or some shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
They're like Amazing Grace. And they're gone.
There's
also piles of holy water.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, it was bad, guys. Like I gotta tell you, like,
I'm kind of like morbidly curious about how bad the book is. If they all have the same names, it's not quality writing.
They're ridiculous.
500 of those fucking books or something like that.
I will admit to always having been curious.
Time
about
to start writing Christian
books,
fiction, I guess.
Boy, you mean?
Oh, dude, there's money in that. We don't have any souls to sell, so I wouldn't feel guilty at all.
It'll just be under a pen name, like Buck Fuckington and
Buttington.
Bucky Buttington.
Butt Fuckington.
You know, Kirk Cameron's okay with Butt Fuckington, as long as it's not two dudes.
What if it's three dudes?
Written by Cat.
Three dudes, okay. Two dudes, 2+11.
Captain Flight Plan. We're going to be entering the anus.
Hold on. My favorite part with the stewardess is just like, there's a lot
she's
of
a
angry...
She's a flight attendant.
No, she's a stewardess. Did you
see
her?
Yeah.
There's a lot of angry people out there, Captain. You can't just leave them. We have to know what to do. We have to decide. How are we going to calm them down? Don't worry about it. Turn on, like flip the oxygen mask. And the co-pilot's like, but we aren't in any sort of, like, low-pressure situation. It's like, they won't know. You're right. I wouldn't know. How am I supposed to know we're losing pressure?
You know, I think the thing, you know, if you want to get the really serious, like, what the fuck part of this whole thing is, all right, Kirk Cameron and his people actually believe in this shit, right? So they actually, you know, and there's stuff in this movie and you're watching, it's like some fucking trucker gets raptured in the middle of the freeway.
Yeah.
There's this huge accident. You assume that like, several people die
probably
as a result of this truck
there
no longer.
There are all kinds of crashed cars.
There's like another shot out in front of Captain Flight Plan's house where there's a dog that's just, and they go back to this dog like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Its master has been raptured and it's just
sitting. You tell
because
it's clothes. There's a pile of clothes.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just sitting next to his master's clothes and his
just
master
waiting. Yeah.
is never going
like
to come
good
back.
Dog.
Is never going to come back. And then you've got these parents that are just beside themselves because their children have disappeared.
Lots of empty baby carriages.
Lots of empty baby carriages.
And you sit there and go, and then they keep talking about how God is a greater love.
Yeah.
They talk about, and I'm like, what kind of love is this shit?
Yeah.
How can you really honestly believe?
Yeah.
In this God and believe that what this God is doing is in any way kind or loving.
Yeah. It's an arrogance because what you want, what those people want to believe, they don't want to admit this, what they want to believe is that they're better than somebody. That they're better than somebody and that they're
righteous.
They're going to be rewarded for being better.
Right.
And without this...
you'll see. You'll get yours.
Well, that's the thing. And that's, you know, we get a lot of times when we ask our five questions, you know, we get the answer of what's the stupidest thing anyone's ever heard from your atheism. A lot of times it's, you know, well, you know, aren't you going to be sorry when, you know, you're in hell? And it's like, I don't think you're understanding what an atheist is. Like, no.
I'd be like, aren't you gonna be sorry when I'm in hell? Because that's a pretty shitty way to spend eternity.
Yeah.
And do you really think that I'm bad enough?
Yeah.
Do I deserve that? Did I do something to deserve an eternity
being
of torture?
Tortured?
Yeah. Right.
Don't tell me what God's perspective on that is.
Your morality.
Tell me honestly what your perspective is on me spending an eternity being tortured.
Yeah.
So, real quick, if you, in Google, you know how you can do the autocomplete?
Yeah.
If you search on Google, Kirk Cameron is... it's like, Kirk Cameron is crazy, is an idiot, is a douche, is stupid. Kirk Cameron is gay rumors. Kirk Cameron is retarded. Kirk Cameron is a bigot. Kirk Cameron is a tool. And as we all know, Google's never wrong.
Let me also suggest... if you have not seen it, Google Kirk Cameron and banana.
Oh, that's so
You've
funny.
You've got to watch the video. Because
it's proof of God.
It is proof of God, and I'll link to it because it's just the most perfect.
Just for comparison, if I Google atheists are, the first five are atheists are wrong, atheists are idiots, atheists are annoying, atheists are good people, and atheists are going to hell.
Unlike Kirk Cameron.
Yeah.
So,
another thing, the intro, you know, the DVD menu is like 90s music with camel explosions.
Yeah, exploding camels.
It's exploding
it's a camel
camels.
Holocaust.
It's the best part of the movie is the intro clip. So, we have five questions to read from
Yay,
the listener.
We do. Mark Baker.
Hey, friend of the show.
Has sent in his answers to our five questions.
Dating a member of my band.
He is. He's dating the other Molly.
He's dating the other Molly.
The Molly with boobs.
The pretty Molly with boobs. It's true.
You're the pretty Molly without boobs.
See, that's nice.
I guess.
Okay.
So we have to, if we don't read his questions right, he will judo us.
Okay, so,
Which is code for gay sex.
He's like, he's Mr. Martial Arts. I'm going to get it wrong which one he does because it's not judo. It's taekwondo or jiu-jitsu.
I think it's jiu-jitsu.
I think it's jiu-jitsu.
Because it's the one that's closely linked
it's
to MMA.
It's the one that he does
MMA.
Jeffrey on the couch.
Naked man-on-man jiu-jitsu.
So our first question.
The best movie you've seen.
I'm supposed to say
that. Yeah,
please.
Our first question, what's the best movie you've seen in the last month?
So he says... Caddyshack, and that he can't prove it, but he thinks Pisspoor, the magician from the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, may have sampled heavily from the Carl Spackler character.
I can see that.
I see it.
I called that an homage, not a sampling.
Yeah, sure. Story.
Yeah.
I love Bill Murray. My favorite part of that whole movie, and I enjoy Caddyshack.
I like Caddyshack.
But my favorite part of the whole movie is honestly the dancing little gopher at the end of the movie.
That was my least favorite part of the movie, even as a kid. It felt like pandering.
It's not the fact that the gopher lived. It's that he's boogie into the music.
No, that's what felt like pandering. Was the gopher dancing?
My favorite part of Caddyshack is when the compulsive betting that happens about the golf game, and then they're like, wait a minute, that's that Anderson kid over there. $5 says he picks his nose. And then they're like, he picks his nose, and they're like, oh! And then money trades hands. And then someone else is like, Tim Buck says he eats it. And then, like, he eats it, and then I'll change money around. Like,
my favorite part of that movie is Chevy Chase. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah,
just
yeah.
Just the whole...
Yeah, yeah. No.
Like Gladiator movies, Danny? You
drugs? No, that's a different guy.
You drugs, Danny?
Gladiator movies is Airplane.
Right.
Well, I know. It's a joke. It's a joke of our family. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Sorry. Sorry.
Inside joke. Aww.
All right. Our second question is, who is your favorite atheist character?
He says, Brian Griffin from Family Guy.
Yeah. That's a good one.
We've had Family Guy before, right?
Yeah.
Is that all he says is Brian Griffin?
Just Brian Griffin from Family Guy.
So Seth MacFarlane. Because Brian is Seth MacFarlane.
Everybody on Family Guy is Seth MacFarlane.
Kind of. It's kind of like a... all the characters on Seinfeld are aspects of Larry David, I imagine.
Yeah,
all the characters
on
Family Guy are aspects of Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
But he actually recently has said that he's an atheist, so...
I don't know
if it's recently, but I recently read something in which he said
sure,
he was
or
an atheist.
At least agnostic, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Question number 3. What is your geekiest hobby?
And he says... It is a toss-up between playing with electronics and microcontrollers and lock sport.
Oh.
Lock sport?
Lock sport. I believe, and Nick can Google while I say what I think it is. I believe lock sport is like a type of wrestling slash boxing combo where it's like anything where they're getting in like arm locks and headlocks is part of it, I believe. So I may be wrong.
Lock sport is actually competitive lock picking.
What? That's awesome!
Which I had no idea that Mark was in a lock pick.
Mark, I assumed it was like headlocks and leg locks.
That's what I would assume too. Jiu-jitsu guy. But
if it is to do with lock picking, Mark, I collect lock picks and shims, and I like to pick locks.
I have never, like, seriously, this kid, Nick, I've never seen him happier than when he was just picking a random series of locks that he had bought. He just bought a bunch of padlocks and then just set about seeing how fast he could get them open.
I can pick master padlocks. That's about the best lock I can pick.
Wow. So if we ever get Mark on the show, then we'll just like spend 15 minutes being super quiet while you guys
we'll have a race.
Yeah.
With like sports commentary. Race.
Yeah, Molly and I will just be like,
yeah,
well,
color commentary.
Yeah.
He's right. Nick is white, and Mark is white, and they are picking locks. It's color commentary.
That's very
That was for Bob.
Racist.
All right, number 4. Hey, Mark, what's your favorite sandwich? And be specific with the details.
He says, my favorite sandwich is the TBP, that's like Tango Bravo Papa, special from The Burger Palace. Oh, TBP, right.
Okay.
Bacon cheeseburger with pepper jack cheese and a fried egg. I add barbecue sauce to make it extra awesome, and I can feel my arteries clogging as I devour them, but it's so worth it.
It's not like a triple pork sandwich clogging, man, so you're okay.
I'm right there with you. I mean, obviously not the bacon, but I love a fried egg on a burger.
Me too. I've never heard of The Burger Place.
I haven't.
Where is that? We'll have to find that out. We'll
look that up and like include a link or something like that. I like the addition of the barbecue sauce because I'm a big fan of barbecue sauce on burgers. Mm. If it's a good tangy barbecue sauce.
Sure.
Most barbecue sauces on burgers are like one step away from ketchup, and that's
See,
not.
I don't like sweet barbecue sauces.
No, I like
spicy,
peppery. Tangy.
Yeah. Devil's Spit and Texas Pit. Yeah.
Devil's Spit, Wilbur's Revenge, which they don't put on the shelves.
I
like that stuff too.
At Famous Dave's. Yeah.
I like Burger Jones has the Hangover.
Yeah.
Which I get with turkey bacon. It's turkey bacon, cheese, a fried egg, and then hot sauce. Like breakfast food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Question number 5. What's the stupidest thing anybody has ever said to you about your atheism or agnosticism?
And Mark says that if I just heard the right version of the Word of God or went to the right church, I'd believe. What I always find so interesting in this statement is that the person making it always happens to have the right version themselves. As if all the people who may have tried to convert me and all the various churches I went to in my youth were all wrong, but this person has the truth. Right.
Yeah. All you need is some deep Christian dicking.
Yeah.
And you just an atheist lesbian.
That's
anymore.
Right. You just haven't had the right dick yet. Yeah. God's
hot,
dick.
Hot
right.
Christian dicking.
That's right. Right.
It is amazing that idea. Well, all you need to do is hear the right word of God, and it's like, well, how do you know that yours is the right? Have you listened to everybody else? My feeling is I've probably heard more and read more about different people's view on religion than most people who are going to try and convert me.
Mostly because it's tough.
Who all they know is their flavor
of religion.
Yeah. And don't give a fuck about all the other flavors that I may have already heard of.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, and so then they say, "Well,
it's that righteous entitlement."
My flavor is the right flavor.
Hubris by proxy.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's that whole idea of I'm going to be the one to save you, and that's the thing that I think is interesting. Is it's supposed to be all about saving you for you? It's supposed to be, if I, Molly, am a Christian trying to save Tim, it's all supposed to be about Tim and me wanting to altruistically help Tim. But that's not it. It's me saving Tim. It's me saving Tim for Jesus.
You just worry about his soul. You just care about him so much.
I really do believe that the people that are these conversion Christians, like, genuinely feel like somewhere in some big book of awesome Jesus deeds, like, Jesus is writing down, like, Molly, one more dude. That's my year old motto.
If Molly saves one more soul, she gets that toaster.
Exactly. Yeah. Green stamps?
Won't heaven be better with toasters?
Well, I mean, can you get raptured? Frackin' you don't get to toasters. Take it with you. You leave that in your clothes pile for Captain Flightplane to find.
Spoiler alert, real quick. But heaven, toasters. Angels.
Wait a minute.
Battlestar Galactica. Toasters in heaven. Astronauts to the moon.
Wait a minute. All those Cylons, when they die, they rapture back to the ship to regenerate. Oh. I think we're onto something here.
I think we're onto something here.
I get it. No more of that.
We need to be done.
Oh boy.
This needs to end now.
So. We watched Left Behind so that you don't have to, but
please,
if you'd like
don't,
to...
don't watch it.
Yeah, don't.
If you've seen it already, then feel free to comment. And if you are a glutton for punishment, you want to watch it.
Yeah, share on the... If you listen to the podcast, share if you've seen the movie. Share your favorite part.
And as always, if you'd like us to read your answers to our five questions like Mark sent in, send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. That's the word 5 or the number 5. We are clever enough to do both.
Yeah, that's right.
And by
like
we, I mean me. again, I'm Nick with Tim and Molly from Geeks Without God. You can find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and we blog at geekswithoutgod.com. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
We out, bitches.
Oh, Captain Flight Plan, you're so dreamy.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
We out, bitches.
Well, you know.
You are so street.